All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts 16 tonight, Acts 16. Let me say just a word about the school revival tomorrow and Friday. What'd you say it was, 10:30 and 1:30 tomorrow? And then what, 10 tomorrow and 1:30 tomorrow. And then Friday, what time? Same. So he's going to preach twice on Friday too? Okay. We have Pastor Kenny Baldwin preaching. And the guy is a preaching machine. I stepped out of the office and had to take something down to be mailed. And I heard this thunder in here. I thought, what in the world? And it was Kenny preaching, and the kids. I think we had six or seven saved today, and so thank the Lord for that. And I'm telling you, he is a fireball. And if you want to hear some good preaching tomorrow or Friday, come, and you'll enjoy it. I promise you that. All right, let's begin in verse 14 tonight. Now, last week, we did three verses, I think. And I said I was going to fly through this, but it just has not happened. But I'm going to cover some ground tonight. All right, so this is a rather lengthy story. And there are several really neat things that happen here. And so let's read a few verses, and then we'll pray and then start. All right, look at verse 14. Now they're in Philippi. And again, let me say that Paul wrote a letter, an epistle, to the church at Philippi. All right, now we call it the book of Philippians. It was written to the Philippians, the people of Philippi. All right, so I don't know if you knew that or were aware of that, but that's that might help you once we go over what happened here as you read the letter, to enable you to see just how much the Apostle Paul respected and loved this church. He said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I mean, he just loved this church. There were evidently a lot of just wonderful things that occurred and that happened when Paul was here. And a couple of the things that happened are mentioned in this in these verses that are before us. All right, so they're in Philippi, and you remember last week, if you look at verse 13, on the Sabbath, they went down to the river where prayer was wont to be made. All right, so they went down to the river. Now, why did the Jews go to the river? Well, they did it in respect and for when they were in captivity. All right, when they were being held in Babylon, and they would go down to the river, and they would. They would sing the songs of Zion, and they would pray. You remember at the beginning, they wanted to hang their harps on the limbs of the tree. They didn't have a song in their heart. They were so discouraged and so upset that they were in captivity and that they had to leave their beloved Jerusalem. And so they were all upset. Well, but that started sort of a tradition that that if you did not have a large group of Jewish people in the town, they would always go down to the river to pray on the Sabbath day. It was just what they did. All right. And so that's what they do here. All right. So they went down to the river in verse 13, and there were women there, no men, all women. And then verse 14 says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, she worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, notice that, she got saved, but also her household. Now, what would her household be? Well, her husband and her children, and probably her parents and his parents, probably. So the whole household got saved, is the point. And she besought us, all right? She besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. In other words, she would not stop. She just kept on until they agreed to go. Verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she, many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, that devil that was in her, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that the same hour. All right, verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, in other words, she can't tell anybody's fortune now. She's lost her contact. All right. That's basically what it was. It was not her. It was the devil in her, and the devil was cast out of her. All right. So when the masters, her masters, saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. These men, being Jews, notice that now, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. All right, I'll stop right there for now, and let's pray, and then we'll look at Lydia from Thyatira. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask now your blessing upon us as we open the Word of God, and I just pray that you will help me as I teach this tonight. I pray you'll help our folks as they listen, and Father, stir our hearts with your word. I pray that you'll that the scriptures will just come alive to us tonight, that we can see this happening in our mind's eye and realize what Paul and Silas had to go through in the city of Philippi. So, Father, bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you look at verse 13, you will notice that when Paul went down to the river to pray and the other men, that there were only some women who showed up to pray. There were no men who had gathered. And that prompts me to ask, where would our churches be today if it were not for the women? Now, seriously. All right. Thank God that the women through the centuries have stayed true to the Lord, and even in difficult times, and have stayed with it. We certainly would be in a mess if it were not for the women in the churches. Now, here is something else I want you to notice from verse 13. Now, if you look at verse 13, it says that on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So here is Paul, and he goes in now and sits down in the midst of these women. Now you say, well, Pastor, what's your point? My point is this. There is a verse in Luke 18, verse 11, and I want to quote it for you, and then I want you to realize that this is exactly the way Paul was taught and the way Paul felt until he got saved. Now, when he got saved, things changed with him. All right? The Lord changed his thinking, and the Lord changed his ideology, and the Lord changed his heart. But the verse says this. I mean, you got to realize just how arrogant and how proud and how boastful these Pharisees were. They thought that they were just one notch or two above everybody else. They felt like they were better than everybody else. And the Lord Jesus is telling this story. And when he told this, nobody was shocked, because they all understood that this is the way these people were. These Pharisees were. And here's what Jesus said. He said that the Pharisee went out and stood on the corner so everybody could see him. And he said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Now, that's just about the epitome of arrogance, don't you think? But that's what they thought. They believed they were better than everybody else. And Paul was one of them. Okay? But now, here he is going into a little lean-to with no top on it. And he sits down in the midst of all these women. Where were the men? There were none there. But Paul's attitude has changed. Now, had this been when he was a Pharisee, had he came down to the river to pray on the Sabbath day, and he looked inside and there were nothing but women in there, he would have turned and snubbed his nose and walked away. I thank thee, the Pharisee said, that I am not like other men are, and then extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, a tax collector. Now, the Talmud speaks of the Pharisees praying, and the Talmud in one place said that the Pharisee would stand and say, "O God, I thank thee that I am neither Gentile nor slave nor woman." That is the epitome of pride and arrogance. All right? And in the days of the first century, the Jews, and especially the religious elite in Judaism, had a terrible opinion and disdain and even contempt for women. But notice that the Apostle Paul, who is called in the New Testament several times the Apostle of Jesus Christ, went down to the river where the Jews were wont to pray, and there was no man in the place. But because of Paul's salvation, and because he had a new heart, and because he had a new heart, he had a new mind and a new perspective and a new outlook, he had no qualms about abandoning all of that Pharisaical foolishness. And he went right into where the prayer meeting was happening and began to witness to those women, Jewish women. Now, folks, listen, I don't know when it was that he told them that he used to be a Pharisee. I don't know when that came up in the conversation. It does not say so. But I can imagine that when he told them, "Well, I was a former Pharisee in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, I persecuted the church. They had a fellow by the name of Stephen there, and I gave permission for the people to stone Stephen to death. I held their coats while they picked up the rocks and hurled them at Stephen and killed him. And I've never gotten over that. God's forgiven me. But what a shame that I agreed to do this. I was so blinded. But now my eyes are open." And they probably sat there and thought, "Boy, they sure are. You wouldn't be sitting in here telling us about Jesus." All right, you see the point? That's what I wanted you to see. I hope every time you read this, you just stop and think of what the Lord did for Paul. Now, let me ask you, what's the Lord done for you? You know, what's the Lord done for you? I got this yesterday morning. I saw one of the kids in the hallway take his jacket and smack another little kid across the face with it. And I got on him about it. I said, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. And he looked at me and said, "Oh, okay." Well, the other little boy just turned around and looked at me, eyes watering where he hit him with the jacket. And I said, "Come here, little buddy." And I grabbed a hold of him, patted him, and hugged him. I said, "You okay?" He said, "Yes." I said, "All right." I'm so sorry that happened to you. I hope you're okay. He said, "Yeah, I'm okay." So he walked on. Well, after school, I loaded up my pocket full of candy, and I went down to the bottom of the steps and waited on him. And when that little kid came down, I unloaded all that candy on him. I said, "I am so proud of you." He said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, when I was 8 years old, if somebody had done that to me, I would have knocked his block off." And that little kid just started laughing. And he said, "Oh, I would never do that." And I said, "I know." And I said, "I'm proud of you And I said, now hold your hands out. So he held his hands out like this, and I reached out in my pocket and I pulled out Kit Kat bars and Hershey bars and all, I mean, just loaded him up. I said, there, that's your reward for being such a good kid. You know, thank the Lord for the change the Lord makes in our hearts. You know, thank the Lord for that. When I went to college, I'd just been saved 2 years. And I went to college, and before school ever started, we were playing basketball in the gym, full court basketball in the gym. And I had stolen the ball from their point guard and went running down the floor and went up to put the ball in the hoop, and this kid come running and he cut my legs out from under me, and I landed on my back with the ball. That knocked the air out of me and everything else. And as he ran by me, he smirked. Well, it just went all over me. And I got up and I said, hey, and he turned around and I hit him with that ball right in the middle of the face. And I said, don't you ever do that to me again. Well, you know, I didn't know you couldn't do that. I didn't know. And so next thing I know, I'm meeting the dean of men and getting 25 demerits. School hadn't even started yet. And I'm getting 25 demerits for knocking a kid out with a basketball. And so the dean looked at me and he said, now, young man, you're going to have to hold your temper. And I said, but he undercut me and knocked me on my back and then smirked as he went by. He said, really? I said, yes. He said, well, all right, I'll take away the 25 demerits, but don't you do that again. Don't you do that again. And I thought, wow, you know, I guess I got away with that one. But you got to learn to control yourself and just realize what God has done for you. And that's what God did for Paul. He changed everything in his life, you know. And think about how God has changed you. There are some of you sitting right here tonight, and if we had told you 20 years ago that you would be sitting in prayer meeting on a Wednesday night at the Church of the Open Door, you would have laughed and said, there's no way. But now look at you. Amen. Now why? I tell you why. Because you got saved, and the Lord has done something in your heart. And you have this desire to want to know more about the Lord, and that's why you come. You want to learn more about the Lord. All right, so that's the introduction. All right, now, number one, let's look at this convert, this lady Lydia. All right, notice in verse 14, she was a spiritually minded individual. We are told in verse 14 that she worshiped God. Now, do you know what that means? That means that she was a practicing Jew. She worshiped God. Now, she wasn't saved. She was practicing Judaism. And Judaism worships God. All right? It's like Paul said, you know, it's going through the form, but there's no denying the power thereof. All right? They have the form of religion, but that's all it is. It's just going through the motions. And we live in a world that goes through the motions. They don't have a relationship with God's Son, but yet they worship God. All over the world. All right. And so this was a spiritually minded person. She is a Jew. She is down in their little makeshift prayer place, and she worships God. She probably comes there every Sabbath and does her duty to pray to God. And Paul shows up, and when Paul showed up, notice we are told that the Lord opened her heart. So that when she heard the gospel, the Lord opened her heart so that when she heard the gospel, the Lord drew her to himself. Now, she still had to make the decision to trust the Lord as her Savior, and she did. But notice that the Lord opened her heart. Do you remember when the Lord opened your heart? I remember when the Lord opened my heart. I sure do. And the Lord opened her heart. And you say, what do you mean her heart? Her emotional center. Her being. All right? Her being. The Lord touched her being, the soul of this woman. And she listened. And she understood and she felt the Holy Spirit calling her to salvation. And look at verse 15. When she got saved in verse 14, in verse 15, then she followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Now notice the pattern here. Saved and then baptized. All right? Saved and then baptized. And that's the way it's always mentioned in the book of Acts. You never read, and they were baptized and then saved. No, no, no. That's getting the order reversed. You don't get baptized to get saved. You get saved to get baptized. That's the way it works in the Bible. All right? So then, notice in verse 15, she opened up her house to Paul and his companion. She invited the whole gang to come and stay at her house. Now, folks, have you ever wondered? Now, just think about it for a moment. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think of the answer. All right? I want to just ask you a question. How do you think? Now, we have just a couple of books over. We have a book in our Bible that is called an epistle to the Philippian church, the Philippine church. Philippians. Where did that church come from? Where did that church come from? How did they get going? Well, I'm just taking a stab here. But you see in verse 14 where it says, this woman who was a seller of purple. All right. Purple was used by the elite, by the upper crust. You know what the upper crust are, right? It's a bunch of crumbs held together by their own dough. Right? Yeah. Write that down, John. And so, what my point is, this gal's got some money. She's got a good job. And no doubt had a nice home. And she invited Paul and all the rest of them to come and stay at her house. And I can imagine that just maybe a week into it, they said, she said, why don't we invite some folks over and I'll serve refreshments and we'll introduce them to Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy. And we'll introduce them to everybody and then we'll teach them some Psalms and we'll sing a little bit and then we'll let Paul share the gospel with them. And that's probably what happened. And so folks came over and Lydia made refreshments and some crackers and cheese and, you know, everything and set it out. And And they have great fellowship. And then Lydia says, Paul, won't you tell us about this Jesus that you've been talking about? And so Paul just starts talking about Jesus and shares the gospel. And no doubt, folks got saved. And the next thing you know, there's a church up and running in the home of Lydia. No doubt she was the foundation for the establishment of this church. All right? This victory may not seem to you like it was that big of a deal. All right? But let me show you something. Go over to the book of Philippians for a minute. We're never going to get where I want to go. Look over at Philippians 1. All right, look at verse 1. Philippians 1. This was one of Paul's prison epistles. All right, he was in jail at Rome, and this was this was the church that was born at the midnight hour, according to Acts 16:25. But look at verse 1. All right, so this was written later, after the church was already up and running, and Paul's in jail. He's near the end of his life. And it says, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at where? Philippi. With the bishops, that's the preachers, and the deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Those are the Siamese twins of the New Testament. Verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Don't you think Paul kind of loved these people? Huh? I mean, he has nothing but good things to say about these people. All right, look at verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Well, what was the first day? The first day was when Paul walked into that prayer lean-to and sat down in the middle of all those women and started sharing the gospel with them. And they responded and accept Christ. Isn't that neat? All right, so that's what the big deal is. All right, so what was that first day? It was the day when it was the Sabbath and the Jews would gather to pray, and they met Lydia and the Lord opened her heart and she got saved. Wouldn't you call that a divine appointment? Don't you think Lydia was a divine appointment? I do. I think she was. All right, go over to Philippians 4. Go to the fourth chapter for just a minute. Chapter 4 and verse, 15. All right, look at verse 15. Paul says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Boy, they appreciated the missionaries' work, and they started from day one, supporting prayer and finances, supporting the Apostle Paul in his work. So he had nothing but good things to say about the church at Philippi. All right? Always something good. He was in Philippi, there was gathered a fellowship of souls that Paul always seemed to have looked upon as the chief joy and crown of his ministry. And it just seems like the church at Philippi was the most near and dear of all the churches that Paul established, near and dear to his heart. And it all started with the Lord opening Lydia's heart. Folks, don't miss the naturalness of that story, okay? I mean, don't miss, this was real. There was a woman by the name of Lydia. There was. And how the Lord must have used her to be a blessing to all those people in that city. You know, my mind goes back to so many people. You go out here and read on the plaque out here, hang them as you go out the front doors, and there's the names of people that had such a hand in this church and in the establishment of this church. And those men like Don Goodwin and a bunch of others. Just a bunch of others, most of them, almost all of them, in heaven now. But I'm sure many of you don't know this, but several of those people that are on that board out there, they went and refinanced, took out a second mortgage on their homes just so the church could be here. Now that's commitment. That's dedication. And we have a lot to be thankful for that they did. Amen. All right, so what should we pray for? What should we pray for? Well, here's one thing that we all ought to put on our prayer list. Lord, would you please open some hearts? Just pray that every day. Lord, open some hearts here in Carroll County. Lord, just open some hearts. Send us some folks whose heart you have opened, who will be receptive and responsive to the truth of God's word. That'd be a great thing for you to pray. You see, the Lord Jesus got his foothold in Europe. Philippi is in Europe, all right? They were just in Asia, but they got in a boat and came over to Europe. And the gospel came to Europe. Lydia was, far as we know, the first convert in Europe, all right? And so the Lord Jesus got his foothold in this great city through Lydia's salvation experience. And Paul was the benefactor of this woman's great charity and heart and even home. Paul was a great beneficial servant of the Lord because of this woman. Isn't that neat? And she was a real person. When you get to heaven, you're going to meet her. She's been up there for 2,000 years now, just waiting on us to get there. And she's a real person. I just think that's amazing. All right, how we doing? Not good. All right, let me give you the second one real quick. Let's look at the second lady here, all right? Look at verse 16. All right, verse 16. I forgot to turn this off. Hold on. There it goes. All right. Verse 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel. Now, notice this girl's not named. No name given here. You say, why? I don't know. When you get to heaven, ask Luke why he didn't put her name in here. I don't know. But he didn't. All right. And she was possessed with a spirit. Notice this, a spirit of divination. Now, what's that mean? Well, that means she was a fortune teller. All right, folks would go to her, you know, like down here on 140. I don't know if you've ever gone by there, right down Finksburg, just up from the fire station. There's a big sign out there, you know, and Madam So-and-so, and, you know, people stop in there. There's always somebody there. Somebody stops in there, and I've had oodles of people through the years that have told me that they go to these witch doctors to see what the future holds. Please. I hope nobody here does that. You're just inviting trouble if you do. And you're being lied to most of the time.
Yep.
But this gal, she was the real deal. And what made her the real deal? She was demon possessed. She had a spirit within her that would tell her stuff, and she then would use that to make money for the men who took care of her. All right? So the second victory was a victory over one of the devil's treasures. This girl who was possessed. Her will was possessed by an evil spirit, and she was the possession of some evil men who were making money off of her ability to as a fortune teller. And notice what this girl did. She followed Paul and the others, and in verse 17 and 18, she followed them for many days. And everywhere Paul and the others went in the city of Philippi, she was standing behind them, and when they would stop to talk to someone, she would stand back and say, "Hey, folks," and everybody knew who she was. They all knew her powers. They all knew that she had something that nobody else in town had. And so when she speaks, folks listen. You say, well, what would they do? Well, you got to realize, these people in Philippi, they know nothing about the Lord. They know nothing about Jesus and what he did on the cross. It was never on their news. All right? It was never in their papers. They did not know anything. So when Paul would stop to witness to some of these folks, especially those who were the citizens of Philippi, who were Roman citizens, all right? You'll notice down here in verse 21, when the men that captured him and took him to the magistrates, they said that what these guys are doing is they're troubling our city and they're teaching customs that we should not hear. You know, being Romans like we are. All right? That was their point. You know, being Romans, we're not Jews. And they're talking about the Most High God. And so when people would hear her shouting over Paul, then they would be warned and they would turn and walk away. And so there would be Paul standing there going, "Well, thanks, lady." And so this went on for a couple of days, and finally Paul had it. And he turned around and he cast the devil out of her. And of course, when that happened, that's when all the chaos broke loose. All right, so we'll pick it up there next time. And I hope you'll read down through, let's see, verse 31. All right, read down through verse 31 several times this week, so that you know what it says, and we'll pick it up there. You can imagine those men were not happy when her powers were gone. All right, that was their money. She was their moneymaker. All right, she was their moneymaker, and so they were not happy. when her powers were gone. But the Lord can do great things, can't he?